Okay, so Zachary remembers said that we're going to continue from last week. So we described last week how Yosef was the first one to go down of all the children of Yaakov, because he was the Haskalah, and the Haskalah starts with a Yachid, that there's a Yachid who sort of conquered Mitzrayim, if you will, in a Yechidus fashion, which is that he went down to Mitzrayim and he became the king. That's in a literal sense. In a more figurative sense, we explained that what Yosef did was, because of his godless and his Kvishus Hayetzer, his ability to control his Taivus and things like that, so that's why he became the king. And he asked a fascinating question, which was, so why was it necessary to go down to Mitzrayim, you know, for 12 years earlier? Right, he could have accomplished this. He could have just come down when Paro had his dream, and he could have just gone straight to being king. And he explained over there that the nature of Chomer and Tzura is that the Tzura starts off completely covered, if you will, by the Chomer. Like a baby, we gave the example of a baby, I think he gave the example of a baby who's born. At first he's a very physical being, and then over time he develops he develops slowly into his Tzura, right? That's what we described last time, that's what Yosef did, and that it's necessary in order, we don't fully understand it, but in order for Tzura to develop properly, it has to sort of be there in the Chomer and coming out from the Chomer. Fine. So that brings us to this week. If you have by the number 3, read a little bit inside. If you will analyze the Godel Hashkocha, the extraordinary exactitude of managing the Klal Yisrael's coming down to Mitzrayim, as we described last time, that because this is the the birth of the nation of Klal Yisrael, right? So then obviously every little aspect is, it's critical in their development. Reminds me when many moons ago, when my wife was first pregnant, we had a book in the house. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a famous book. It's called What to Expect. You guys know anything? It's called What to Expect When You're Expecting. Yeah, and when you're pregnant. And so in this book, it would tell you. I mean, I should just take a biology, but it tells you like what would develop in every week. You know, every week and every 2 weeks, and like what the woman would be feeling like, what the baby's going through in utero, and like it would have all these different things, and like you realize the precision that's going on, right? When you're creating something of great significance, so then, you know, there's extreme precision going on. So listen to what he explains over here. It goes back a little bit to last week's parsha, but it's fascinating. He says, so when you recognize what was going on here, he says, so then obviously they came down to Mitzrayim at exactly the right moment. What was exactly the right moment? They came down to Mitzrayim when there were 70 people. It's a famous Rashi, right? That if you do the counting, it's 69 people. Who is the 70th person, right? So many pshatim brought down, but one of the pshatim is that she was Yocheved, and Yocheved was born Bein HaChomos. She was born Mamish as they were coming into Mitzrayim. Okay, so maybe we're used to thinking of that as just like some sort of interesting historical fact. Yeah? The Maharal says, come on, that doesn't make any sense. We don't tell interesting historical facts in the Torah, right? What's the significance of this? So he says, Shekvar amarnu lecha ki lo yeroi hashibud vayirid l'mitzrayim rak ad shayu shivim nefesh. He says the number 70 was critical. Right? The number 70 was critical. Everybody notices this, right? We know there are 70 nations, and Klal Yisrael came down when there were 70 people. So in a sense, that's when they had a status of, that's when they had national status, right? And now I think what he's saying is like this, before we get into one thing he says, what he's saying is that just like Yosef, right? This Chomer and Tzura, the development was, he had to go down. What's when he was 17? And you say when he was born? No, when he was 17, that's when a person's really developing. Right? Until then, he's a kid. You know, when he's 17, 18 years old, That's when a person is becoming a man, and so that's when his taivas are taking hold of him. So it was really like we described before last week that the tzura is born in the chomer, right? So right, the tzura is born. You know, this little baby is just chomer. He's all chomer, and the tzura comes out slowly, right? So too here with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is going to go through the same exact process of going down to Mitzrayim and developing in Mitzrayim. So when do they have to get there? If they would have been formed as a nation before they got to Mitzrayim, if they would have already been 70 people, then it wouldn't really be this description. They would have already had their national status and then come to Mitzrayim. He's saying specifically that no, the national status needed to be created in Mitzrayim. Right? They weren't meant to come down before that. It was the nation that had to be down in Mitzrayim, but that's why they came down, because you know, when Yocheved was born, Beina Chomos is exactly that that moment that as they become a nation, they are already in the Chomer of Mitzrayim. Yeah, very fascinating explanation of that famous Rashi. What? A good question. So let's see if he explains that a little bit. He says like this: Ki Yisrael mishtatvim l'umos b'mispar hazeh shehu shivim. Rak ki ha'umos heim shivim umos, u'b'bnei Yaakov hayu shivim pratim bilvad. He says the difference is, it's like almost a funny comparison, right? There are 70 what? There are 70 nations, right? And here there were 70 people. So what's the tzushtel? What's the connection between 70 people and a nation? So he says, "Va'atam yadua lemevinim." People who understand, it's people who know something that they'll understand. Ki umos yesh behem aribui. Umos are multiples. Lefichach misparim shivim umos. Shekol uma yesh baribui. The concept of morale says in a number of places, riboy means that it's en masse. Yeah, that's how the nations of the world work. They are done en masse, and therefore, you know, that number. Why is it that we say there are 70 nations? You know, obviously, okay, you can go to the Parshas Noach and find the 70 nations, but you know, what's the explanation of that? The explanation is that that's a riboy, but the nations are a riboy in themselves, besides for having 70 of them, right? The famous time we say this is Sukkot, you know, the 70 parim, and then there's Klal Yisrael is one, right? Because there's a concept that the nations are multiples, the Yisrael Uma Yechidis Pratis. Klal Yisrael is a nation of one, they are a unique nation. Uleficha chayimispar shalahem rak shivim pratim. Right? But that's why it was enough that they should have 70 people, because ki'ilu, you know, each person, you know, was almost corresponding to a whole nation, if you will, because the nations are generally considered great by their masses and how many people they have and how many soldiers they have and how much land they can conquer. That's how they're considered great, and we're considered great as individuals, right? That's why we you know, have an even greater value for every nefesh, every neshama. You know, if you follow Israeli politics, maybe this will help you understand why when they have one Israeli soldier, how come 400 terrorists are released? I'm not suggesting that it's okay, but you know what I'm saying. But that's the concept. Okay, so he says. So in Mela, we look at the nations. V'kasher ha'yishivim nefesh ha'yinimtza mispar zeh shebo nishtat v'yisrael v'umos v'yimispar shivim ozay yehizgabris mitzrayim ha'yisrael. Right, so that's, again, so they got to this magic number of 70. 70 is a national number, different than, in a certain sense, comparable to all the nations. Oh, and like we explained before, v'lefichach v'osa shah Shabo Mitzrayim Hiskil Hashibud Hayushivim Nefesh Lo Kodim Lo Achakach. Not a minute before, not a minute after. Ella Shehiktim lava Yosef l'sham. Yosef did come earlier. V'hu l'tam asher amarin. That's what we said last week. Shekim osha Yisrael mishubad mitzrayim. Ibnei she Yisrael heim kimo atzura u'mitzrayim him achomer. V'kach yesh li Yosef kedima Yosef. And Yosef had exactly the same experience, that he was the tzura coming out of the chomer. And fine, very good. Mitzad shah yekodesh nivdal min arayas l'kach hiktim lava l'sham. He was, because of his even more exalted status, even his extra levels of Kedusha that Yosef HaTzadik, as we call him, had. And that's why he came down before everybody else. But then, essentially, the Yachid and the thing that happened to the Yachid is the same thing that happened to the Rabbi. Right? This would be an interesting place to point out. You know, there are many, many Pshatim in many places that say that Yosef had a status as like a Miktsas Av. I'm sure you've heard that before. You know, Yosef had two shvatim. He had like he wasn't quite like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, but he had a certain status. So here, it's interesting because we're used to Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim. You know, Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, then he went back up to Mitzrayim. Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim, the famous Ramban throughout Sefer Bereishis. Right here in this little piece of Maral, he's saying the same thing with Yosef. Right, so Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim, that would even apply a little bit to Yosef. That's another interesting nekuda over here. So that's really step one. That's sort of being mashlim what we did last time, and the timing of going out to Mitzrayim. Now we'll continue on to the next piece. Yeah, the next piece in Perek Yud Beis over here in the Gevurah Hashem is something also that we are used to hearing, but he gives a fascinating explanation. So here he says something that we know, that as long as Yaakov Avinu was alive, so there was no Shibud, right? Klal Yisrael was living b'shalva, they were in Goshen, they were supported, everything was good. And now he's going to explain some of the processes of what happened. If you saw on the sign that I put up, I don't know if anybody reads my signs. I put up a sign, I put up four numbers. Yeah, the numbers were, I'm sure you remember, Nehemiah.
Something. Okay,
I'm glad I said it was 112,70,600,000.
Okay.
112,70,600,000. The pyramid was only a little hint of a triangle, just a shape that looked interesting. Yeah, that's what we put down. Right. So now we're going to explain a little bit. We won't really do like the regular moral of explaining the numbers, but we'll explain what those numbers represent and how exactly, again, how this the precision again of this going down to Mitzrayim and becoming a nation in Mitzrayim, right? Which is fundamental to this whole to all of Klal Yisrael. So let's take a look over here. So he says, as long as Yaakov Avinu was alive, they wouldn't become Meshubu. He calls Mancha Yaakov Kain Loya Efshel in Mitzrayim, Leos Govermalov Mipnei Madregas Yaakov. They couldn't even overtake Yaakov. As long as Yaakov was there, it wasn't Shaykh at all. And they were the, and together with him, you know, his mishpacha, you know, the 70 people were his family, and he was able to take care of them also, you know, protect them, if you will, from all those things. Ulefichach, as we start this week's parasha, Nistama parashas Vayechi, famous Rashi, beginning of Vayechi, that it's sasim, right? It doesn't have a new parsha. Usually every parsha starts with a new starts with a new paragraph in the Torah. It's actually funny, this past Shabbos I was in shul by Mincha. I'm not exaggerating, I would say it took them 3 minutes to find the place to point to where Vayechi starts, because really, because they were up to Shmos, but it's a different story. But they, in other words, it's harder to find than every other parasha, right? If you miss the parashas Vayechi, lahagid kivan shemes Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu died, of course, in this week's parasha, nistamu einayim v'libam shel Yisrael min hashibud. Their eyes were sealed. In other words, now all of a sudden they realized or recognized that they were going to become enslaved. and there was going to be a Shiva to Mitzrayim. Ve'ena perush shalagamri hiskala shibud acha shemes Yaakov. And it doesn't mean that, it's going to deal with a few different mamari chazal over here, it's going to help us clarify, that it doesn't mean that as soon as Yaakov Inu died, they became slaves. Shari Amru, there are a few other mamari chazal, one of which I never heard of. Maybe you've heard of it. But here goes one. This one you've heard of. Lama Nimnu Shnosav Shalevi. In Parashas Ve'era, it tells us this, it tells us that how old Levi was. Why does it have to tell us that? Lahodia Kolzman She'echod Min HaShvatim Kayam Lo Hayu Mishubadim. That as long as one of the Shvatim was still alive, right, Levi was the last one to die. Right, Yosef dies in the end of this week's Parashah. Levi dies in the beginning of next week's Parashah. And as long as one of them was alive, so then there was no Shibud. So that's a little bit contrary to what we just said. We just said, what do you mean? As soon as Yaakov Avinu died, the Shibud could start. And here it says only when Levi died. Ela Perish Adavar, Shekasher Meis Yaakov HaYeshibud Al Yisrael. Now when Yaakov Avinu died, there was a Shibud. V'lo Haya HaShibud B'Kvius. But the Shibud was not permanent. Ad Shemes Levi. Oz Haya HaShibud B'Kvius. Now, it's not really what I want to speak about today. Yeah? But he's clearly giving different levels here of Shibud and Shibud B'Kvius. And then he says, Mikol Makom Lo Haya Vayimaru Es Chayeyem Ad Shenol De Miriam. It says that, apparently, the name Miriam, I think is what he's saying, is that the name Miriam comes from the Merirus, comes from bitter. Yeah? I never thought of that, but I never thought of this, I never knew this either. But Oz Hiskel Vayimaru Es Chayeyem, that when she was born, right, which was, obviously later on, that's when the Merirus started. So he's really explaining different levels of Shibud, right? Shibud, Shibud B'Kvius, Vayimaru Es Chayeyem. It's not really the part that I want to speak about the morale, it's certainly a room for thought. I'm confident that, I sent out my recording now. I'm confident one of my Talmidim is learning in Eretz Yisrael now. I think he knows who he is. He's going to tell me what the pshat is in this. He's very good. He's very good at these things. I was thinking maybe it's like our smartphones, First there's you get a smartphone, you become a little bit meshuvah. Where's my smartphone? Then over time you become a little bit meshuvah b'kvias. I need it all the time. And then at some point, maybe we realize it doesn't bring us all the happiness we thought it would bring us. That is Vayimaru. That's my joking around method of explaining these things. But, okay. I think every joke has a little bit of truth. Fine. The Kolzman. The part I want to talk about is this. He goes one step further. The Kolzman shall yadur arishon shall shivim nefesh kayim lo ayu parim v'ravim. He says, now it's not only, he goes not only further, not only once Yaakov died was there a Shibud, and not only once Levi died did the Shibud start B'Kvius, yeah, but he says there's something else that didn't happen until all 70 people died. What? The Chavit didn't die? I was thinking, that was totally on this, I was thinking that you, that L'Chora, Yocheved would have died. Doesn't say when Yocheved died. We know she was 130 when Moshe was born. We don't know that she lived, and we know that she took care of Moshe until he was how old? 2 or 3 years old. But that makes her 132. After that, I don't know when Yocheved died. I was doing the same calculations. Yeah, good. So, listen to what he says. Unbelievable. He says, as long as one of those 70 people was alive, lo hayu parim v'ravim. Right, the numbers here, you'll see the numbers forming, right? There was when Yaakov died, that's one. Then Levi died, that's one of 12. Then, the next step is, when the last of the 70 people died, that's when they started the next part of the process. Yeah? Which was, before that they were not parim v'ravim, they were not having lots of children. They had children, but they didn't have regular, normal, one baby at a time children. Right? And then, only after all 70 died did they start having Haru Vayishitzu Vayirbu Vayasmu Mon Maod. That's when they started having copious amounts of children, and Klal Yisrael started to grow. That's what he says. Now this is the part that I it's It's unbelievable. You know, he says like this. Why? Why did it matter? He says, "Ki elu shivim hayu nimnim umugbalim b'shir." He said, "These 70 people, they were counted. Ubemisper shu shivim nefesh. They were counted specifically in last week's parsha, one by one, right? 70 people." Okay, makes a cheshbon that if you really go back and look at last week's parsha, not all the wives were counted. Not every, I don't know exactly who was counted, who wasn't counted, right? So he says there were 70 people. Okay, v'kasher k'siv in next week's parsha, v'yomos Yosef v'chol echov v'chol hador ahu. He's medayik v'chol hador ahu. The whole generation died. So then what happened was oz habonim. So then they started to have lots of children. Now listen to this. This is a pshat the Maral says in a number of places. I put on my sign, I said the biggest obstacle to growth. Yeah? So listen to what he says over here. This is the critical part. He had davar shehu. Eino shalein ve'eino b'poel, something that is not complete, it does not have completion, holeich u'mishtokek lotzeis el ha'poel, it has an extraordinary mishtokek, means tshuka, it has like a desire to go and to bring itself out. So he says like this, he says, as long as we had the 70 people, we're doing such a good job inside. Let's finish it. He says, "Vakashu Yisrael shivim nefesh, shezem mispar mugder shalem, vayu nimnim." When they were complete and whole, they had this certain sense of completion of being a davar shalem. Lo vayu parin v'ravim. So then they were not. They didn't have so much peruvu. Well, let's explain this. I think this is a very key point that he's saying over here. It's like this. When you have something that's whole, there's a natural sense that we want to try and keep the thing whole. Yeah? As long as the thing is whole, there's not really a sense of trying to grow something. Right? So I'll give an example with a house. If you walk into my house and say, oh, you know, okay, you look around my house, you can see, okay, looks good, you know. Everything's in place. The bedrooms are all made, right? Fine, good. Now you start talking about making an expansion, an extension on the house. That might be exciting, yeah. But it's like this natural aversion. Like I don't know if I really want to, you know. I have to move out of my house. I have to hire a contractor. I have to hire an architect. I have to get check with the engineers if I can expand, if there's room, and how we're gonna do it. Then I had to start picking what kind of doorknobs I want. And I, right? There is so much growth there. There's extraordinary room for growth. But as long as it's whole and it's regular, you know, nobody wants to do that. Chas v'shalom, you know when this happens, sometimes a person then, they have a, something happens. There's a flood, there's a fire, there's something that ruins the house. So then there's this natural, all of a sudden, there's this new thing. What do you want to do? Like, oh, well, you know, we have to rebuild the house. So, your house was good before. No, we have to rebuild it anyway. We may as well add on 2 bedrooms, an extra bathroom. We should really update the kitchen while we're at it. Right? Right? While it's shoveling, everything was fine. Everything was fine. I didn't feel anything that needed to be changed. It was good. I was living comfortably. As soon as it's not shoveling, yeah, once I've lost that, now there's this extraordinary desire to build, to grow, to do all these things. So he says like this, he says, as long as one of the 70 people was alive, there was a certain aspect of shlemus, of Klal Yisrael. You know, Klal Yisrael, yeah, we have Klal Yisrael, okay, yeah, we're good. You know, we already formed Klal Yisrael, we had our 70 person nation, for some reason that was small enough, that was good enough like we described before, and there was a certain level of, I won't call it a level of contentment, But there was, the metzias is that when you have this shleimus, then there's contentment. Right? Only once they all died, now you were just left with these remnants, if you will. You were left with things that were not really in this experience of having a davar shalom. So those had this extraordinary power and extraordinary desire to grow. They wanted to expand. And so that's when, not they wanted to expand, I don't really say wanted, it's not a matter of wanting here. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam doing this. But once that happened, they were ready to start expanding. Right? I'll give you another example. I'll give you two more examples. Yeah. Let's say a person has a business. If you have a business, so, and I come to you, I say, you know, I have a great idea for your business. Yeah, what's your idea? You started a business here on Main Street, and you, good. I think you should franchise. I think you should franchise your business. We'll bring it to, you know, we'll bring it to the Five Towns, we'll bring it to Brooklyn, we'll bring it to Lakewood, to Muncie, whatever your business is, we'll expand it. Now, I don't know. That's a humongous undertaking. I might very well say, you know what? I have a business. I'm making a parnasa for myself. I don't need to be a multimillionaire. Right? There's this natural sense of that. And then, you know, there's some people that that's not what they're holding on. Their whole idea of making the business was that they wanted to grow and they want to be famous and they want to have a humongous business. Right? But it's a different decision. Even if you just, you know, loosely follow, you know, if you just ever have to like invest in any stocks or something like that. You know, there are two things, you know, there's growth and there's income. You look, there's different mutual funds. Some are called growth, two sectors, growth and income. Income means, oh, we have something, we already have what we're going on, we don't need to be looking for other things. Growth is a whole different entity. The two of them don't really go together typically, right? If a person has a business that is being successful and he wants to start a new business, he might like give it a new name, you know? Like, I'll try it, but like I don't want to risk my whole business that I have in existence already. Because that's already like a davar shalom, that's already functioning. And now I'm talking about growth. They're two separate entities. So what he's saying over here is as long, right? That's what he's saying over here, that as long as Klal Yisrael had this, again, this aspect of shleimus, so then growth was inhibited. And there was no natural puruvu. Yeah? So what's really the greatest obstacle to our growth very often? Very often the greatest obstacle is complacency. We're happy. We're content with what we have. We're content with what we have. You know, yeah, I learned how to learn. I know how to read a Gemara, Rashi, a Tosfos. You know, I shtagged a lot. I couldn't do that 3 years ago. You know? So when we start becoming complacent, and we say like, oh, I'm a pretty sharp guy, I'm a pretty good guy. So then, what we're really doing is we're kind of, whether we realize it or not, we're in some sense inhibiting our growth, right? Because once we have that complacency, once we say like, oh, this is like, oh, I've reached the level that I want to be at. Obviously, what we have to do is attain a level and keep the level, and then you know, after we've fortified it, go further. Right, but this ironic twist almost that you can't have the two things together. It's very difficult to have that I'm growing and yet I'm also like stable and content and all those things. You know, in a short version, you know, most of us have had the experience of going to Israel and things like that. You know, in a short version, the same thing happens when you go to Israel. If you ask me what really happens when a guy goes to Israel, one thing that I think happens is they leave their high school, their home, they leave that experience, which if you ask them, they'll say, yeah, it's like a davar shalom. You know, like, yeah, I'm content, I'm happy, okay, I'm good with what I had, but now they're going to somewhere that they don't know anything about, and what happens? They're going, what are they going with? They're going with a mindset. That's why, maybe this is why people have such an ability to grow when they do this. Just yesterday, a parent called me, a 12th grader, has a 12th grader. They really want him to stay local. What can he do to stay local? I don't think there's anything we have that can imitate, you know, that experience of, I'm going to Israel. And why are you going to Israel? Right? If you have the guy who l'chol hapacha says, I'm looking to grow a little bit in ruchnius. That's all he has to say. If he says that, we're already in business. Because now he's taking down his shleimus that he has, his complacency that he has, and now he's prepared on a whole different track. So he says that's what happened with Klal Yisrael. That's why once that original shleimus was broken, that's what opened up the growth. Something to think about. Something to think about. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. You have to know in every stage in life, what am I doing now? Am I trying to maintain or am I trying to grow? Okay, stop over here. Pleasure.